So these two gentlemen, I had the opportunity last year to go and be a part of this, the care package unit. It's for incarcerated youth. And like Martin said, you know, there's some of us that have had the sleepover, as you put it. Well, there's a lot of incarcerated youth that are they're in for a long sleepover. And they're in need of love, they're in need of care, they're in need of some type of hope that they can hold on to. And that's what these gentlemen are about. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about it.
Show of hands, how many of you know about LifeQuest and what it does? Okay, so we got at least a few of us that have been there and know what we're talking about. I am very pleased to introduce to you today, those of you that don't know, Mr. John Jones, who is our new executive director for LifeQuest USA. Welcome.
Good morning.
I told Antonio, you don't have to worry about asking us questions and such. Just get us started and watch out. John's not afraid to say anything, nor am I. One of the things that I do want you to know is that there's been great progress made with LifeQuest USA, and I'm going to let John go ahead and speak to that, and then we'll talk about these Christmas care kits and how important that is. I've been involved with it for over 15 years now. And I want to tell you, I've seen it grow. And more importantly, I've seen more of these young people's lives impacted than you can imagine. So let's talk about it. John, why don't you tell them what we're doing?
This is awesome. I feel like I'm on Oprah. Yes, I've seen Oprah. I couldn't help but couldn't help but think as we were just singing, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. What good is that message if it stays in here? I mean, it never runs out on me. But isn't the message of the cross, isn't the message of Christmas that it never runs out on you? Isn't that what we're called to do, is to bring that message to others? So when I was called to LifeQuest, about 20 months ago now, I will be completely honest with you. I had no desire to move to Albuquerque from Illinois, but God had other plans, and I was coming whether I wanted to or not. And I love this ministry. I love this ministry. Here's what I'll tell you. I believe when you work with incarcerated kids, you will learn more what it is to be Jesus to someone else than any other opportunity. Your message is going to get rejected. You're going to get pushed away. And you just keep loving them and sharing with them and encouraging them and walking beside them and pointing them to the one who can save them. The Christmas Care Kit, I love this ministry. I actually had someone say to me a few weeks ago, I was sharing the ministry of the Christmas Care Kits with him, and he said, you know what I struggle with? These kids are locked up. They're in jail. I mean, he said, I really struggle with them getting a gift at Christmas. He said, do they really deserve that? And I said, but isn't the message of Christmas that we all get something that we don't deserve? Isn't that the message? And think about it. These kids, there's going to be no River of Lights. There's going to be no Festival of Trees. There's going to be no waking up Christmas morning, spending it with their family. Their family are the other kids in the unit they're locked up with. And I'll tell you something, if we don't provide them with a different family, if the body of Christ does not become their family, nothing's going to change for these kids. And all the Christmas Care Kit is a way to say, we love you, Jesus loves you, and we want to see your life change in a way that's not just going to benefit you, but are going to benefit mom or dad or brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, whoever. That you're going to change your community. You're going to change your life around you. And the best message of all is Jesus wants you to be a part of seeing others' lives changed. Because that's casting vision for these kids. So I'd encourage you, come up, talk to us afterwards. Whether you want to just sponsor a care kit for $20, that's great. That's sending a message of love. If you're interested in volunteering, I'll tell you, men, we desperately need men that are willing to come in and work with these young men we work with. Ratio, boys to girls locked up in prison right now, in New Mexico is about 90 to 10. And I would safely say we've got over 15 young men right now who've said, I want a mentor. I want a LifeQuest mentor. I want someone to come in and meet with me and talk with me. And I don't have the men to do it. You know, can anybody tell me where in the Bible it talks about the gift of discipleship? Does anybody know where that's at? Oh, wait, that's because it's not in there. Go forth and make disciples is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. And this is an awesome opportunity for you to do that, if you'd care to. But we'd love to have you join us. We'd love to talk more with you about it. Listen, come up, talk to us afterwards. I'll come out. We'll sit down. We'll have coffee. We'll talk about the ministry. We'll talk about you. We'll talk about us. By the way, I've loved being here with you this morning. This is awesome.
Thank you, John.
The big problem, gentlemen, is that Dad is missing. And we get a chance to be Dad. We get a chance to at least start that process. These Christmas care kits are quite often the beginning of it. But there's a trust that needs to be built, a relationship that needs to be built. And we need to, it's not just mentoring, guys, it's discipleship. It's exactly what Christ did for his 12. And the many that came thereafter is what happened was discipleship. So we welcome you. We'd love to work with you. We'll train you. We'll tell you what needs to happen, but we just need you to come and show love. Welcome. Thanks, guys.
Oh, gentlemen, before we go, can you remind the gentlemen one more time? Yeah. Next Saturday, they're going to be looking for volunteers to help assemble these Christmas care kits. You give them time and place.
Yeah,
and
Saturday morning at our facility at 4020 Edith Boulevard Northeast. We're right on the north side of YDDC, if you're wondering. It's at the corner of Industrial and Edith Northeast, right down the street over here, guys. And there's a bunch of you that showed up last year, and you saw how quickly it went. About less than an hour, we had them all put together. We're talking 700-800 kits, okay? We talk about the kits, and you'll see examples of those over there. So 9 o'clock next Saturday morning, that's the 13th, 4020 Edith Boulevard Northeast. Look forward to seeing you guys.
And if you don't help us remember any of that, like sometimes things go in one ear and out the other in my brain, just Google LifeQuest. You'll find their website. I was on it the other day. It has all the information about when and where to be. So if the Lord is tugging on your heart to either serve as a mentor, to serve as a hand to put stuff in a bag for the glory of God, then I recommend that you help serve with these gentlemen. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. Well, good morning. My name is Antonio. Pastor Neil, a couple of weeks ago, had brought me up on here. I have the privilege and the opportunity to be the new lay leader of this ministry. My name is Antonio Aragon. A little bit about myself. I recently got out of the Marine Corps last year, 2013, in June, and God had called me to this church, back to this church. I'm originally from Albuquerque, and he called me to the school ministry, and I didn't know where I was going and getting out of the military, not really having a direction, but God put a path in front of me, and here I am today. So I want to welcome you. I want to thank the leadership for allowing me this opportunity to be up here. What I want to do today is to talk a little bit about what Challenge Men's Ministry is. We've had this ministry for a lot longer than I know about, honestly. And some of you have been part of it for a lot longer than I know about. I don't know if there's a vague understanding of what we're doing here, but today, this morning, I want to briefly go over what we're about. So if you put your attention to the screen, this is our mission. A couple of months ago, I believe it was last year, a lot of the leaders got together for an entire weekend. We sat in a boardroom and we talked about what we want to be about. And this is our mission statement. So I'll go ahead and read it. It says, Challenge Men's exists to enable men to commit to God's word through modeling and discipleship so that their purpose may be fulfilled for God's glory. We are committed to the masculine journey of building spiritual bonds and transforming men into leaders in their homes, in their workplace, church, and communities. Now, there's a lot going on in that. I know there's a lot of fancy words. Just to break it down, you'll notice it says Challenge Men exists to enable. So we are enablers, for lack of a better word. You'll notice all the men that have come up here, they're involved in a ministry. They're doing something. And we want to be about helping men get plugged into a ministry. We want to be like a grand central station for ministry, if you will. If you want to get on a LifeQuest train, or if you want to get on the Renew train, or if you want to get on the Home Repair Kit train, that's what we want to be about. We want to enable men to come to us and be able to be pointed in the right direction. Some men are looking to help out and serve in one way, shape, or form. Some men, I heard a young man tell me the other day, said, I'm not looking for Bible study, I'm looking for community. And there's a lot of men in here that perhaps you don't have a community. You may see this group maybe once a month, and you go back and you won't be involved in another fellowship for a month. And we wanna stop that. We wanna have men united, and we wanna bring men together and be about men in ministry. There's a lot of individuals in this room, I would imagine, who could be new believers, and there's a lot of men who have been believers for years, and they're actually serving as pastors. But we want to learn together. We want to grow together. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to enable that. All right? And you'll notice it's all the two words that are in caps. It's all about God's glory. That's what we're here for. We're not here for our own glory. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for God's glory. And that's if we're not about God's glory, then we're in the wrong business, gentlemen. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. It doesn't work. You can't grow by yourself. I used to think when I was a new believer that I could sit in my apartment, read my Bible, and I was going to grow, and I was mistaken. There was a gentleman, when I first came to this church, he had told me, he said, I never really started living life until I started serving Christ. We had the opportunity to go to the jail and minister to some of those guys, and at that time I was a new believer. I didn't buy that. I didn't believe him until I actually started serving Christ. And I can guarantee you, each and every one of you, you'll never know a better life until you start serving Christ. And that's what we want to be about. We're committed to God's word. That's what we're here for. We want to build godly leaders in our communities. And if you look at the state of this nation right now, we don't have godly leaders in authority. And there's a Proverb 29:2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. And I'm not being specific about any specific individual, but gentlemen, we need to have godly leaders in authority. We need to have godly leaders in our homes, in our workplaces. You know that, and that's what we're here for. All right? So I want to go over our primary goals, three primary goals. When we first got these fancy banners that you see around here, you'll look to the far right of the building here. It says construct, commission, and connect. We couldn't get that in order to save our lives. There's a little red stripe going through it. We had it all different ways except for the right way. So finally somebody said, maybe you should put the stripe going down. That might be the way to go. So that's what we're about. We're about constructing godly men, the first one. And how do we do that? How do we construct ourselves? Well, the foundation is God's word. That's anybody who's in construction knows that you got to begin with a foundation. Jesus Christ says about him and about his word, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You guys know the rest of the story. If you're not building your house on that foundation, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your foundation and on his word, what happens when the storms come? You fall, and great is that fall. And we don't want to see any man in this church community fall. We want to build each other up. So that's one of our primary goals. The first one is constructing godly men. With the word, I'm not an expositor. I'm not a great teacher. This is actually the first teaching that I've actually done. This is it right here. So, but I have a tool that I can use, and that is we have a great pulpit here. We have great pulpit teaching. Skip is a gifted teacher, and many of you that have heard preaching around the world, you know that Skip is gifted. He is very gifted in preaching God's word. He's a servant. So we tie into that teaching, and we're going to do that here in a moment. This morning, we're going to tie into one of his teachings, and we're just going to apply it to our lives. Turn the page. All right, so the second goal, commission. All right, you can see for many of the ministry opportunities, there's a plethora of ministry opportunities in this room right now. All you have to do is ask. If you want to learn how to serve, come alongside some of the men like Big Al. We mentioned Big Al a lot. I don't have a lot of spiritual gifts, but one thing is I can lift stuff up and I can put it down. Have you ever seen that? I think it's a Planet Fitness commercial. There's a big bulk guy. I pick things up and I put them down. Sometimes that's what I'm good for. And there's a ministry that I can plug into, something like that. Some of you are good with words. You can teach. You can teach ministry with LifeQuest. You can be a part of that ministry. So we're here to commission you to serve in some way, shape, or form for the glory of God. And then the last primary goal is connect. Connect. If some of you, like I mentioned earlier, are men who are, you could possibly be a Lone Ranger Christian right now. You could leave this building and you'll never have contact with another believer. You won't have fellowship. I've heard the word fellowship used as, fellowship is nothing more than two fellows in one ship. If that's what you are looking for, if you're looking for community, that's what we want to be about. That's one of our primary goals, is to connect men with other men and serve for the glory of God. So in a brief nutshell, that's what this ministry is about. Moving on. Like I said, we have a gifted teacher. He teaches God's word. The sermon chooses him. He doesn't choose the sermon because he goes by the book, by the word. And that's what we want to tie into. So what we're going to do this morning is we have a website. And for me, I like to keep things simple. The less things I have to remember, the better. So if you go to our website, it's called challengemen.org. It's up on the screen here. There's a tool that we have available, and it's every week. Some of you may know about it. Some of you that are involved in Connect groups or involved in any group where you can get a recap of the weekly message. It's available on our website. So if you go to the website and you scroll on the main page all the way down, you see this week's Connect group message recap, December 1st. I believe last weekend was Franklin Graham. He was the one that came to teach. But today, I'm going to go back 2 weeks because I want to talk a little bit about 2 Peter. So if you just go into the archives, that link there, you click on it, and it has all of the teachings. You can scroll down to whatever weekend you want to recap on, and we're going to go over the November 24th one. And you have that teaching in front of you. One of the verses from that teaching is on the placard that's in front of you, and that's one of the main ones that we're going to talk about today. So it's simple, 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 simple. You guys know where to go to get it. You can teach this to your family. You can teach this to a Connect group. You can lead a Connect group. It's not that hard. And I'm just going to do that. I don't lead a Connect group, but this morning I'm gonna lead this Connect group through these means. So I'll start off by saying last night as I was going through this, with my Marine Corps background, I have a tendency to, when I get in front of a group of people for too long, I start barking at them. So I was an infantry platoon commander, so I turned my mind into somehow I'm given a combat order every time I'm speaking. So my wife told me, she said, baby, you need to smile. You need to calm down. They're not Marines. You're not going into battle. You're giving God's word. So I'd asked some of the men to pray over me this morning, and they're gonna throw out a oorah if I ever start going down that route. So this Devo, there's a lot going on it. When I was in the School of Ministry, the man back there sitting in the back, his name is Pastor Carey. He taught a class, and we read some scripture, and we read a book, and we talked about the weekend message. And one of the things he said was, think to that message. Think about what you read and what hit you between the eyes. What one thing hit you between the eyes? He wasn't asking us to recite the entire message from A to Z. He just wanted us to point one thing out that God was showing to us. Just one thing. And that's what I'm doing this morning. This is basically the one thing that hit me between the eyes through this sermon. So if we can read this scripture together. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, this hit me like a ton of bricks. It covers a lot, but the reason it hit me like a ton of bricks is What really matters? What matters anyway? It's all going to burn. You guys have heard some people say that. It's all going to burn anyway. It's all going to burn. Skip even mentioned that the past week. Sometimes I find myself saying that. It's all going to burn. My father, he passed on. He's kind of somewhat died at a young age, but he was a hoarder. He liked to collect and keep and store up everything. And I couldn't understand it as a young man because our garage was always full of boxes and this and that. And I would always ask my dad, I said, well, Dad, what are you going to do with this? He's like, well, it's a collector's item. I'm going to use that someday. I'm going to fix that someday. Whatever, whatever. So he passed on, and I went into the garage, and I looked in his closet. And I said, gee, thanks, Dad. There's a lot of junk in here. So I opened up some of the boxes. You know, there was some old clothes in there. The rats had gotten into it, and it was just junk. And, you know, it makes you think, you know, what really matters in life? What are we doing with all this stuff? I tell my wife, I said, hey, if we're not using it, we're selling it, donating it, or throwing it away. It's just the way I roll. But if we really think about what this message says and what it said to me, you say, what really matters? What am I doing? I recently got married. And for those of you that are married or with children, as men, you know, our mind goes to the provider. We start thinking about that. And me personally, I struggle with it. When I start thinking about having kids or, you know, what job am I going to get? I start thinking about providing for my family. And sometimes, I'll admit, my mind goes, well, how can I get rich? How am I going to get rich so that way I don't have to worry about money anymore? And after reading the scripture, you know, does the pursuit of money and the pursuit of riches really matter in my life? And, you know, I started to ponder on it. And like I said, this hit me between the eyes. God hit me between the eyes with his scripture. And he says, you know, in, I'm sorry, I got to pull to the, it's basically, Christ says, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Rather, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where it does not destroy. Another proverb says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Use your own understanding and cease. And I started thinking about, well, who's our provider? Am I my provider? Am I my wife's provider? In a sense, but in all reality, God is my provider. Should I really be worrying about money? Is that really what matters in this life? What really matters? All the works in this earth, like the word says, all the works and this earth is going to be burned up. And it, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. The Lord provides for the sparrow in the air, for the lily of the field. He provides all that we need, all that we need. We don't need to be pursuing. And that's something that, like I said, this is a personal deal. This is something I struggle with. An entire sermon can be taught about money. I'm not going to go there. What I want to focus on is if the earth and all the works in it are going to burn, what should I care about? What should I be worried about? What should I be doing with my life? What does God's word say about what I should be doing? My wife and I, we pray the Ephesians 6. We pray the full armor of God over ourselves. And it talks about the mind of salvation, the helmet of salvation. Do we think with an eternal mind, or are we thinking temporary? I had to, you know, search for God's word. And as I was going through this devo, I was praying. I said, Lord, what should I be doing with my life? What really matters? And it brought me to the scripture where Christ says, there's going to be two camps once this earth passes away, once the heavens pass away, once it's all burned up. God's going to have his sheep and his goats at the right hand and the left hand. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So what does God want us to do? What's the key word in there? I believe it's servant. To serve. God wants servants for his glory. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. He doesn't call him anything else. And you'll notice in the scriptures, Christ talks about servanthood, being a servant, 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 servant. I'll repeat that word. That's what God wants us to do. And in Matthew 24, verses 45, he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. That's the first camp. Second one, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come one day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is my deal. This is what hit me between the eyes. This morning, normally we have a speaker, we have a teaching, and we wanted to kind of deviate from that a little bit for this last one. There's the Devo that's in front of you. There's the scripture verse that's in front of you. And what we want to do in small groups is we want to talk about this. We want to talk about what has God put on your heart. What are you doing with your lives right now? What matters to you? What do you really care about? What really is important? And usually we don't have much time for group discussion, but that's what we want to do today. We're going to have 45 minutes to talk. Some men, like I said, some men don't need Bible study. They need community. So I would encourage each and every one of you, if you know God's putting something else on your heart, say you and your wife, you had a struggle this morning, you've been having a struggle this week. We're here in fellowship together. If that's what you need to get off your chest, that's what we're about here this morning. There's a gentleman who's there, he's a QB. We're all here to listen. We're all here to join in brotherhood. So my simple Devo is that, what really matters anyway? I encourage each and every one of you to discuss it or share what's on your heart. If you want to serve in a ministry, like I said, there's a plethora of ministries here available. Talk with one of the men afterward. But gentlemen, we have till 10 o'clock. We have 45 minutes, and we really want to pour into each other's lives. You may not know the guy sitting next to you, but it starts somewhere with a handshake and an introduction. So thank you for coming, and we hope that you are you're fed and you're edified this morning through each other. So thank you.